thankful to be here tonight.
Praise the Lord. Nice to gather with everybody. Nice to gather with everybody around. This is a little different. It's good. God is good. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Father, we're so thankful for your mercy to us. Lord, every one of us, oh God, is in the palm of your hand. And every one of us, Lord, you are crafting and you are developing, Lord, as only a potter sees fit. And so, Lord, Father, our eyes are on you tonight. We're praying, Lord, that you just have total and complete control. We pray, Lord, that you would just move upon each heart, Lord. Let's forget about our surroundings here, Father. Forget about what happened this day and even what goes on tomorrow. Lord, you stepped out from eternity and you dwell in eternity. And Lord, we ourselves are creatures of eternity, trapped in these mortal bodies. But by your spirit in our hearts, oh God, we can soar right on and see beyond any physical limitation. So help us tonight, Father, we pray. Just take and bless each heart, Father, as we look to you. Move me out of the way, Father. Help me be a yielded vessel, Father. And I pray, too, that hearts would be in tune with your spirit. Build us up, Lord, as only you can. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Appreciate your ministry to us. It's a great, great, great blessing. Before you take your seats, if you'd grab your Bibles, let's just turn to Psalm 1. In verse 6, I'd like to just kind of dwell on the first psalm tonight. Very, very, very familiar psalm for us. 1:6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Amen. Just bow our heads again. Lord, just break to us the bread of life. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. First of all, I just want to say how much I appreciate everybody. You are all a wonderful blessing of all tremendous caliber. I just feel so privileged to walk on this earth with you, amongst you. And truly, my cup runneth over. The Lord has been so good to me, giving me all that he has with you. So, praise the Lord. I'm thankful to God. Amen. What I want to talk about, and this what struck me, is that the Lord knoweth the way. The Lord knoweth the way. And it's a way that is destined for his children to walk on. His ways are absolutely perfect. And the carnal man can never find his way. It doesn't make any sense to him at all. Amen? But it is for the righteous. Praise the Lord. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. That's who it's for. Amen? And you ever think of the word righteous? You know, what is righteous? It says, those that walk in obedience to God. Those whom God has made right. He knows the way because he's declared it. His way is his will. Amen? And those who are obedient walk in it. And the fact that they're doing that declares that they are righteous. Their works, their deeds, their manner of living declares who they are. The definition of righteous is doing right, morally correct, a correct deed done from a pure motive. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Amen. There's a lot of depth there. Sometimes we can just gloss over things, but there's so much right there in God's word. Now, I know that the Bible is clear that in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his work ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Amen. It's clear from this and the rest of the Bible that we cannot, from our own righteousness, be acceptable before God. Amen. Apart from the new birth, no man can see or enter the kingdom. This birth is experienced by grace through faith and takes place completely apart from any meritorious works on man's part. When a woman or a man, a man or a woman is washed in the blood of the Lamb. But once this grace works in your life and my life, it sets us on this path that only God knows. It's a mystery. It's a mystery of the translation of the bride of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 35:8 says, an highway shall there be, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. I get such encouragement over that. Though fools shall not err therein. Somehow I can fit in there, you know. I won't err by God's grace. It's not by my ability or my smarts. It's his grace. And the same grace that saves you, the faith that brings you to God, amen, through Christ, is the same faith that draws you into a holy life with Christ. And this has got to happen. Amen. His work in us brings us closer to him. It cuts away the foolishness, things of the world, the things that hinder us, the unkind word or deed. He cuts away from us the slightest thing. It causes our heart to feel pain, knowing that any way that we have done anything to displease him, amen? It cleanses you from the things of the world. Praise the Lord. It brings you into close fellowship with the bridegroom. And it sets you on a path, on a road. You're on a path. You're on a road. We're on a road tonight, saints. Tonight we are on a road. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, that's what it is. God catches us and we tried to lead him. Let him lead. And that's good. That's exactly right. He knows the way. He has traveled the road. He made the road. I like that. We don't know the road, so why do we try to reason these things out? Let us just submit ourselves to him and say, Lord, you lead me. I'll follow. He said that in I Stand at the Door and Knock, 57. To submit ourselves to him, say, Lord, you lead me, and I'll follow. Amen. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. Yeah, amen. Even when you don't think you're being led, God is leading you. You know, even when you think you took a wrong turn, God has ordained you to take that misturn, to catch you to see something that you would have otherwise ordinarily missed. You know, Brother Branham has given an example of that, and I don't have it here as an example, but you know exactly. He had given somebody, had told him a vision is what would happen. And somebody, you know, lost their temper or something like that. Anyway, Brother Branham ended up taking a wrong turn, going the wrong way, but it caused them to catch that part of, to fulfill that vision that the Lord had told them would happen ahead of time. So even in our seeming misturns, our mistakes, God has ordained. Isn't that exciting to know that the Lord is mindful of your every step? Amen? I am so thankful for that. Brother Branham says, and how can I overcome? This is a very, very familiar quote to us. He says, the thing you have to overcome is yourself, your idea, your thing, and surrender yourself to Him. He overcome for you. He knows the way. We don't. So I want tonight, as we go over this, is to, you know, enter into a rest that the Lord knows the way. Amen. He's got a way for each one of us to walk. Amen. And that path collectively is the way. It's the way of righteousness. It is the way of holiness. It is a beautiful fabric that God is interweaving together to form that tapestry that declares Himself. Amen. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham, this is just something real simple, a thought. Brother Branham says, he says, but Noah's time there were eight overcomers. Eight overcomers. They were caught inside. And what we find is that when we're walking in that they were walking in the Word for their day, because they were walking in the Word for their day, they received the deliverance for their day. Amen. Their right actions received a right reward. They entered the ark. God closed the door. Amen. And He carried them over the judgment of the earth to walk out on the other side, walking out on dry earth as overcomers. And that is true with us too, as we walk in Christ. Amen. Nothing can befall us but what He doesn't ordain. You know, I won't say He won't promise, you know, keep us from death. I can't say that. There's places in God's Word, He says, are you fearing Him who dies? Are you afraid of them? You should have absolutely no fear when who have laid the foundation of the earth, I have created all things. I watch over you. I don't sleep or slumber, day or night. Amen. Brother Branham says again, and how can I overcome? Now don't struggle. Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God. Just let God. Just yield yourself to Him and walk on with a perfect, satisfied faith that what God has promised, He is able to perform. Amen. Not joining one denomination, another denomination, running this or the other thing, trying. Just yield yourself to God and walk with Him, peaceful, quiet, not interrupted. Just keep on walking with Him. That's right. How many of you, particularly brothers, but it applies to you sisters too, got so much to do that day you get up and, oh my, you're late, you run right out the door. And find yourself, you run into a buzzsaw. Everything goes sideways and crossways and everything like that. And you're just fighting up the current the whole way. Anybody have a day like that? Am I the only one? Yeah, right? Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me. No, other than the fact that the Bible says there's nothing but what is common, right? Right? But in other times, you've been confronted with just tremendous obstacle, and you've got no idea how you're going to get past that, right? And so you spend time in prayer and you just lay it before the Lord. And what I try to do, I try to forget that thing. I try to just rejoice myself in the Lord, to joy in the Lord, my God. Amen? Just to behold my Lord Jesus and just love him. And just knowing that where he is eternal. Where he is joy. Where he is perfect peace. And he has that perfect peace that passeth all understanding. Just enter right into that. And it's funny how it is, how you do that and then you approach the situation the same way. And a lot of times too, I'll pray, Lord, make the low places high and the high places low before me. Just level the ground before my feet. And how many times I have seen it again and again where that thing that was so hard, all of a sudden, it just fell, whatever it was. And in the end, I just say, God, you are God. Amen? God, you are God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4:18 says, The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I like that. Praise the Lord. Amen. God knows the way of the righteous. The other half of that verse says, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Keep that in mind when they seem so big and so blustery and so strong, so invincible. The way of the ungodly shall perish. It says in Jeremiah 17:11, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so is he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool. I'd like to bring that. Well, not that it would mean anything to him, but big placard over these big institutions that think they're so high and mighty, that think that they know better than God knows. In fact, they don't even believe in God. They say they don't believe. Or they say, I don't believe in God. He knows I don't. Right? The man who says, the fool saith in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 39:6 says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Sure, we brought nothing into this world, and of a truth, we will not bring anything with us as far as the things of this world. Amen. But if we're redeemed, we'll bring our loved ones, we'll bring all that we spoke, all our brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs answers this question a little bit. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I wish I had a little more time to show all these mansions of people that were ungenerous in their lifetime, have left behind places of orphanages and places of ministries, who were either given it to it or obtained it at a very cheap price. God provides through them. Yeah, everything is in the hands of God. Yeah, even the wicked, they can't move outside of his ultimate perfect will. Of course, the way of the ungodly shall perish, because everything outside of the will of God shall come to naught. Even when we think we're doing God's will, but not according to his word, it too will come to naught. Absolutely. Amen. We don't want to frustrate his grace, right? Paul exhorts, According to the grace, this is in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. I'm sorry. This is Colossians. But every man shall take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So if we offer or do something not according to God's will, that won't stand. The Bible's clear on that. But we ourselves will be saved. Amen? But our own work will suffer. Very common expression, only one life, so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Anything outside of God's will perish. It doesn't belong there. It'll be plucked up. Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like to turn just a little bit, talking about being blessed of the Lord. That's Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man. Think about that. He's walking, now he's standing, now he's sitting. Kind of a transition there, right? But you know, this is the world that we live in. Corporate America is terrible that way. They get so big, so mighty. And I'm even thinking of, if I digress, forgive me, but Eisenhower in his farewell address, he was talking about before it used to be our manufacturing, our companies, they would come and they would take plowshares, right? And they would pound them into swords. In other words, they had one function. And if war came up, then we'll go ahead and we'll make, you know, weapons that we have need of, but then go back to turning out plowshares or cars, you know, as it were, or planes, commercial planes, et cetera, et cetera. That to me is far more pleasing, you know, than to make things that have no real great value for humanity. These are all vain things. Amen. The Bible is very clear. Unless the Lord watch the house, they that watch, watch in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they that build, the laborers, they labor in vain. Unless God is watching anybody, any country, whatever they do is going to be vanity. It's not going to amount to anything. Amen. It's always real important to say, Lord. Not to say that you can't work for a corporation. I don't want to say that at all. God might have you there because there might be a predestinated seed for you to witness to. But just to be listened to that still, small voice. Don't run after riches. The Bible says, he that is hasty to be rich troubleth his own house. It's very clear about that. And there's many a person getting caught up in this corporate scene or in these man-made organizations, these Nazi parties. They find that they, through advantage, can climb up, you know, this ladder of success, only to find out when they get to the top that they have the ladder leaning against the wrong wall. Amen. It's vanity. It's all vain. There's nothing to it. Praise the Lord. And the devil, he's mindful of knowing how wonderful and transformative God's word is. Don't think he isn't going to do everything he can to keep you from this. But David wrote, "Thy law have I meditated therein day and night." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He says, "This is a delight." That's verse 2. "Is in the law of the Bible, and his law doth he meditate day and night." There's a commentary he wrote here. "It's impossible to visualize a happy man who is not also a man of God's book. He has insatiable hunger for the word of the Lord. He loves the Bible and meditates it on day and night. By this means, his own life is enriched." And I like the second part. "He is a channel of blessings to others." Our life is not our own. The things that we possess are not for ourselves. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy, God had said, "The poor in the land shall always be with you. Therefore, deal with them with an open hand and provide for their needs, for your brethren, for the poor, for the needy, with an open hand, not, you know, close or held tight to the vest or to be stingy." I like something that I heard your dad say, Sister Mary. He says, if you've got too much, it means that you got someone else's. And that's exactly right. The Lord allowed you to have more than your need, not that you may consume it on yourself, but that you, by a good steward, you're able to oversee and to see where it goes, to be a blessing. I don't believe in supporting somebody to sit around idle all day. That is foolishness. That is what our charity of today is. That is not at all God's plan. God intended God's people, God's his body, to supply the needs of those around. And God's will done God's way always lacks God's vision. There was a very wealthy person. I don't know who talked to him. He's a brother in this message. He's very, very rich. And somebody asked him, he says, "How did you get to be so rich?" He says, "Oh, it's very simple." He says, just be a conduit of God's blessings. It'll water you too. Just pour it out. Just try to get rid of all the things that God gives. Just open it up. Just be generous. Don't hold anything, but you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. God supplies more abundantly above anything you could ask or think. Amen? That is the economy of God. Praise the Lord. Psalm 1:3 says, "And he shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water." Planted by the rivers of water, he has a never-failing supply of nourishment and refreshment. Every need that we have is in God, is in Christ. A never-failing supply of nourishment and refreshment. Praise the Lord, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Oh my, I want to hit something here if I can. I'll pick it up. I like that. We'll come back to that. We'll embellish on that a little bit later on, and I'll move along here quickly. Who bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, there's a compound meaning here. You know, Brother Branham said that just every scripture, virtually every scripture has got two meanings to it a lot of times. You know, like I called my son out of Egypt, referred to Israel, but it also referred to Jesus. Amen? And so, in one sense, referring to this that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, he's talking about the prophet's season, In other words, there is a word given in that day, in that hour, and there are people that are predestinated to hear that word. And from that word, then, that they show forth the fruit that is being brought forth in a season. So when you're predestinated to an age and a word to be fulfilled in you, you are a fruit bearer as you respond to the word for your day and your hour. And it's glorious. Amen. In another sense, every one of us bears fruit, fruits of the Spirit, fruits of righteousness, fruits of holiness, fruits from the gifts that God places in each one of our lives. And they're not the same. And we're not on the same timetable. Some produce it quicker. Sometimes they're ordained to produce it early on, or maybe only up quick, and others don't show up till later. We don't know what purpose. God knows. And it isn't just what we see right here in this assembly. I think Brother Jesse mentioned that about the body. Much of what goes on is not here, but it's outside of this assembly right here. Much of it we don't even hear about. It goes by unnoticed, except for those being ministered to. And God certainly notices. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why Paul, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." Praise the Lord. Amen. "For we are one body, but many members, each one with a different purpose, differing gifts, everyone coming to maturity at different times." 1 Corinthians 12:18, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." Ever think about that? He's placed each one of you in the body, not as by the will of man, but as it pleased him. Hallelujah. I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bringing forth his fruit in his season. Let's go on. His leaf also shall not wither. Another commentary. His spiritual life is not subject to cyclical changes, but it is characterized by continuous inner renewal. D.L. Moody. All the Lord's trees are evergreen. I like that. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." That is a tremendous verse right there. You're a tree, you're planted by the water, you are an evergreen. Doesn't matter what the climate is, doesn't matter if it's a full, total out drought. Doesn't matter if everything around shrivels up, yet you'll be green. Praise the Lord. Shall not see the heat that cometh. Shall not be careful. Shall not be full of care. That's what it means. Not full of care in the year of drought. Neither. And that doesn't mean, so the idea is, even though there's a drought out there, you're not burdened. Right? and you're still producing fruit. You're still fruit bearing. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I like this. This is a good, you young men, listen up. This kind of man shall prosper in everything he undertakes. The reason, of course, is that he is living in fellowship with the Lord, and all his service is therefore guided by the Holy Spirit. The only way to be efficient and successful in the Christian life is to be led by the Spirit of God. Self-directed activity is an enormous waste of time, money, and effort. It's Bible Believer's Commentary. I thought that was a good comment. Amen. That's true. Or oft-quoted Martin Luther, quote, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. That's a good word. It's not in trying, but in trusting. Not in running, but in resting. Not in wandering, but praying, that we find the strength of the Lord. Amen. Psalm 119 says, Oh, I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Through thy commandments thou hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Think about that when you're applying and going to school. Spend more time in God's word. No, meditating isn't just memorizing scripture, though that's fine. But the idea is like a grazing animal who eats and then they ruminate it. Just what they've eaten comes up again with more meaning and more flavor. And they just chew on it and they swallow it down and it comes up again. That's the word of God. And you think about it, the word of God does that. Where we see something and we read it, then all of a sudden it comes back. And again, more meaning. And then all of a sudden, dots begin to connect. We meditate on it. Then all of a sudden, this very two-dimensional picture turns three-dimensional. And then it turns four-dimensional. And then it reaches out into eternity. And our eyes are wide open almost without any limits whatsoever as the Lord catches us up. It's wonderful. Meditating on God's word. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Psalm 43:5, Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in the Lord, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. The Lord is the health of your countenance. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But thou, O Lord, Psalm 3:3, art a shield unto me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's path is holy. It gives us health, gives us strength and sustenance. It prospers us. Takes us everything that we have need of in this life. And after leads us right off into glory. Amen? It is salvation. It is the way of the redeemed. Praise the Lord. As I'm closing, if the musicians had come, we all want to be found on the path that the Lord has for us, from young to old. It is a predestinated path for each one of us. And where each is asked to walk may not be what your neighbor is. Where I am asked to walk may not be where God is calling you to walk. But it is all of the Lord. He's making the orders. We with joy carry them out. The Lord desires to lead us, each one. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And we will, if we let him. Can we sing that, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us? See which one that is. Do we have it? I don't think we have it. That's a nice song to not have in one of our books. So sorry. How about, do we have the one, He Leadeth Me? He leadeth me, He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I will be, hold out His hand, He leadeth me. Can we raise it up a little bit? I'm a little low. He leadeth me. God, let's the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Anyone have another song in the book that we can all go ahead? We're almost. Praise the Lord. Go.
Home through every toil and danger, we're almost home. How many pilgrim saints have before us gone? No stopping now, we're almost home. That promised land is calling, we're almost home. And not a tear shall fall, then we're almost home. Make ready now your souls for that kingdom come. No turning back, we're almost home. Almost home, we're almost home. So press on toward the blessed shore. Oh, praise the Lord, we're almost home. This journey ours together, we're almost home. Unto that great forever, we're almost home. Comfort, song anew we'll sing around that happy throne. Come faint of heart, we're almost home. Almost home, we're almost home. So press on toward that blessed shore. Oh, praise the Lord, we're almost home. This life is just a vapor, we're almost home. That sun is setting yonder, we're almost home. Take courage, for this darkness shall break to dawn. Oh, lift your eyes, we're almost home. Almost home, we're almost home. So press on toward that blessed shore. Oh, praise the Lord, we're almost home. Almost home, we're almost home. So press on toward that blessed shore. Oh, praise the Lord, we're almost home.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Nate, why don't you go ahead and close tonight?
All right. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you for your wonderful words of life.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord, that you watch over us through every single thing that we go through. And that no matter how many times we might stumble, no matter how many times we might think we're confused or walking in a strange way to us, Lord, your hand is there always leading us and always guiding us. And you take even the things that we've done wrong, Lord, and you turn them for your good. And we are just so blessed. And we bow our heads to the dust that we came from, Lord, and say thank you. We just love you, Lord, and forgive us for the times when we step out of your way. And continue to teach us and lead us and guide us and help us to be more like you. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name.